Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast, aka this episode is I'm gonna call it the Raptors season finale, because they didn't make it out of the first round. Unfortunately, we had a nice little run. In terms of the playoff post game pods, I appreciate you guys for hopping on, for tuning in and all that, giving your feedback and everything. So, I mean, I'm still doing playoff podcasts throughout the rest of the playoffs. So, honestly, with the regular season, the way it is at this stage of the game, this is the only part of the season you really care about anyway, right? That's what it's trending to for a lot of people. So, but I'm joined here by the family, by the South Shore Ave family members, Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, and Mr. Randall Walter, Presidente of and COO Team Lightskin, hashtag Team Lightskin. So how you guys doing today?
Good.
You know what? Good, but it kind of sucks when the Raps are out of the playoffs. Right? It kind of sucks. It's like, you know, you have that something to look forward to. I mean, I'm a basketball junkie, so I love watching ball. I think the only person I know that's bigger junkie than me is UC. And that's from, you know, way back when we were little jits and we'd be playing with, you know, I'd be like, yo, hey, see, I got this new Transformer. I got this G.I. Joe. You want to play? He's like, I got this basketball. I'm like, get that shit out of here, man. I want to play with G.I. Joes. And he's telling me stats about, you know, yo, Dominique Wilkins just dropped 20 points. I'm like, well, Optimus Prime, you know what I mean? Just beat Megatron. And you're like, oh, okay. But back to Dominique Wilkins. So
yeah, that was my brother's influence. Those are the two older brothers kicking your head into with all that stuff. That's where came from.
Well, but you know what? You're the first to put me on. So I wouldn't be here without you. So I got to give a shout out to that. But you know, it's a playoffs, like you said, it's a beautiful time. And I think the three seasons for me is number one is that trade deadline. I love it to death. Number two is beginning of the season, like all the movements are going on, you know, signings and trades, etc. And then it's playoffs, right? Those are my three favorite times.
Yeah, regular season, playoffs, and then the off season. The season from, I guess, what, just before the draft until the first 2 weeks of July, like when summer league is kicking in, that's like everybody's favorite period. It's like as soon as the finals is over, it's like everybody just cares about what the next gossip is, who's going where, who's signing where, who's getting drafted where. You know what I mean? Like, It's all about that at that point. Who's getting moved to which team, and you know who hates it where they're at, and who could we get? Like, that's where the excitement really happens. I mean, it's its own industry at this point. You know what I mean? So I mean, well, at the end of the day, I mean, the Raptors did lose. They fought as well as they could fight. They fought the good fight, and then in the second half, Cleveland finally used conventional wisdom and said, "Hey, you know what? We got 2 7-footers. We're going to use them, and we're going to play with more energy through those guys." And then guess what happened? I mean, you know what I mean? So they finally got it together and took care of the Raptors. So all in all, this was a successful season in comparison to last year. You know, as we said before, nobody could argue that. The playoffs are the playoffs. It exposed a lot of things, which playoff series tend to do. And going forward now, where do we go from here? So the guy in the middle here is the a Scarborough Ute man. Them, he's a Scarborough man's, and he's the resident Raptor lifer of the fam here. So I'm gonna start with you first, man. Where do we go from here? Now that the playoffs is over, now they lost to Cleveland. They're having their exit interviews. Bobby Webster did his today. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, unfortunately, but I know he was doing his exit interviews today. What are your thoughts, man? Where do we go from here?
We got to do a few things. First things first, we got to free up some cap space. We have to somehow package Poeltl, somehow package quickly, somehow package Grady. Not that Grady has a salary hit for us, but we got to package these guys with some future first round picks. And honestly, I don't really care what we get back. Like, this may sound strange, like those are some quality players, but I don't really care of who we get back. I just want that money off of our cap space. So I don't know what Webster's going, how he's going to do it. I think we have a core. The reason why I feel that way, because we have a core. I think we have a solid core. I think CMB, and I think obviously Scotty, and I won't say Walter just yet, but and I'm okay with Ingram for now. I'm okay for with Ingram for now. But again, if you can get something for Ingram, which I don't think you will, I'm okay with Ingram and Scotty and CMB. But offseason, we need to keep our draft pick. This is a deep draft. I think we got the 19th pick, right? 19th or 20th pick or whatnot. And I think we can get a solid rotational player at the 19th pick. So we're not, whatever we do, we don't trade our next year's pick, our draft pick. And we build around that draft pick, around our core. Ideally, we need another big, right? Don't get me wrong. We need another big. Pirtle. I don't know where to start with Pirtle. In the early in the season, he had those back issues. But during the playoffs, he seemed to be healthy. And that's what's scary, that I think he was healthy and he did not look good. The reason why I think he was healthy, he did a two-hand crush. Like he did a two-hand dunk. He never dunks it. And I saw him go through the paint with two hands, he dunked it. My point is, if he's healthy and this is all that he can contribute, we are screwed for the next 4 years if we don't get rid of him, right? So we need a big, like a tough big, like a shot blocking Stewart type of big on Detroit. I don't care. We don't need really a scoring big. We don't need a guy that can shoot outside. Obviously, we need floor spacers, but we need a true 7-footer that can protect the rim, set screens, rebound, and run the floor. And we need another guard. We need if we trade in Grady, we can't just go through Walter's shed and quickly. If quickly's traded, we need another guard. So guard play, another big, keep our draft pick, free up cap space. That's my wish list.
Getting those bigs, those guys are easy to get, for sure. It's so easy to get.
Well, you got to get through the draft, man. Like, honestly, you got to do your scouting. I trust the Raptors scouting team to find that diamond in the rough. And I think you can get a big. Like, honestly, like, I think you can get a rotational big, not like a scoring big or franchise changing big. Don't get me wrong. But with the 19th pick, we've drafted pretty well in that 19th area in the past. And I think in this year's draft, it's deep. Now, I don't know what the top three centers are in the draft right now. I do know the kid, what's that kid that we watched on Michigan? Was it Michigan?
Mara?
Yeah, like, I don't know. He'll probably go before that. But, like, if he's the number one, if there's another two similar type picks that can fall to us, I think we got to draft it. Like, we don't draft for need. Obviously, we draft the best player. I'm just saying in terms of holes that we need filling. Caperto, we cannot rely on Pirtle. We cannot rely on Pirtle.
I don't think Pirtle was healthy this playoffs, though. Like, I hope not. You see, I don't think he was, man. Because, I mean, he was struggling to get to those 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was a coach's decision because of the way he was playing, though, right?
Yeah, so, but in a series like this, you would figure you would need the body. So the fact that he was only playing 20, like,
yeah,
I don't think that was just because he couldn't hang skill wise with those guys. I just think he just wasn't healthy. He missed a lot of time this year. And again, for a 7-footer to have back issues and is going into his 11th year, at the beginning of a new extended contract, Well, what say you, Randall? What says you?
I think I've exhausted my wish list on every pod. So, but I'll reiterate it again, right? I mean, Julian said most of it. first and foremost, I think, you know, total back issues for a guy that's around 7 foot is never a good sign. And he's on the twilight of his talent and career right now, right? So I don't know why we read up so fast. I think it was a trigger. I think, you know, everybody said when we initially got him in the trade, I don't think anybody was bugging on that. He was playing very well for San Antonio.
Yeah.
I think he fit the mold of the team we had at the time, right? And this is the problem that I don't think we realize. I think, you know, everyone thinks it's so hard to get a big, but during our quote unquote, you know, rebuild or that restart within, or the retweak within those 2-3 years we didn't make the playoffs, I think we could have got rid of Poto instead of reading up on him, and he had value, right? And got someone younger, right, that fit the timeline of the guys like Scotty, and built, grew with that team. And the other thing is, I think we missed the mark on a lot of our drafts, right? I know there were bigs available the last, you know, we drafted Walter, we drafted Grady. Those were just, you know, I know we needed shooting, but I think we missed on it. Shooting, I feel you can get on the market. Bigs is very hard to get. You know, I think we could have Queen. We could have had, you know, everyone's talking about George. There's so many other draft picks we could have got. And I think we missed the mark the last few years, I'll be honest. Like, even though Walter's good, I think we could got something else. I'm being honest. It's just my opinion. And I like Walter. I just don't think, I think for what we need, we could have got that, like you said, Julian, in the draft. I'm not confident with Bobby yet. I'm being just totally honest with you. I'm not. I was confident in Masai. I'm not confident in Bobby, right? And I'm not saying that Bobby can't do the job. I just haven't seen anything that has proven to me that he can do the job, right?
It's still early. He's only been
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. The verdict is out, right? But with that all being said, right, you know, your take is you need to jump in the draft. My take is, you know, I think everything is open. Every possibility is open with this roster. There's many different avenues you can go. I'm not opposed to trading, you know, RJ. I'm not opposed to training Ingram. And you guys already know that I would have got rid of at least quickly at this past trade deadline. And I don't know if they didn't have any good suitors, didn't have any good takes, didn't want to jump the gun. I know they tried to get rid of Poto, but nobody wants him. And the rumor now is that we could have got Triple J. I don't even know if that's the big I would want it.
No.
You know, so I don't know which way we can pivot without taking a step back, and who's available to fill in the spots, and what were we going to give up to fill up the spots. So I'll tell you right now, if we're going to make any move to get us at least in contention in the East, we are going to have to give up draft picks.
You know, and that's the problem, right? Like, and this is the issue I had even last year when the Raptors were signing all these guys, and I'm like, we're coming close to that the top of the salary cap with these guys, where it's like, at best, it looks like the future would be you may make it to the second round. You know what I mean? If you're gonna max out on the team, especially early, you want to have at least that one or two players where it's like, okay, this guy might win an MVP in the league one day. You know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, at least we're hitching our wagons to these certain stars, and it's like, okay. But it's like last year when they signed all these guys, and you know, you can't trade for Ingram and not give him an extension. Like, you obviously you're trading him knowing that he's going to want to stay here at least for a couple of years, right? But I just kept looking at that cap, and I'm like, all these players on their own, they're fine. You know what I mean? But like, together with the cap, I'm like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And then my issue was like, we're kind of where we are now. If you're going to start offloading these guys, now you're going to have to give up some of these picks, you know what I mean, to attach with them. Hopefully not. Like the JJJ thing, I thought that was kind of, I think it's funny because I'm not saying JJ sucks or anything like that, but I like my bigs that can get more than 5 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
Seriously, like I know he plays defense and he's kind of known for that, and he can stretch the floor, but and he can score, but he doesn't rebound. Like he does not rebound. Like you still have to put somebody beside him that's gonna fill that area in, and you're paying him like $50 million. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like I said, when we're talking the chat, I'm like, right city, wrong player. I mean, y'all know where I'm going with that already. You know, I feel like Andre 3000 in the Be Cool movie where it's like, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to say? Don't ask me. You know what I'm going to say? You know, but, you know, right city, wrong player. But like I said, you know, this showing was good. Like the positives in that is like, For what everybody wanted to say about CMB, even myself included, because I wasn't crazy about the pick when we drafted him last year. Because like I said, we could have got Cedric Howard. We could have got Derrick Queen just a couple of picks after that. However, the guy plays with so much heart, and he's only, what, like 20 years old or whatever his age is? I mean, you know, you want to have people like that in your team. You know what I mean? So it's and he showed a lot of heart in this end of the season in the playoffs that, yeah, it's either one of two things. You either want to keep him. I'm not saying he's untouchable, but you either want to keep him or he's raised his value so high. Now you can actually attach it to a, you know what I mean, to a draft pick or to somebody else and be like, we'll trade you this and this for that superstar.
Who's that? Sorry? Who's that?
CMB.
CMB? Yeah. I don't know if they're going to. I highly doubt they'll trade CMB.
I don't think he's untouchable, but he's definitely raised his value. So that's just said, he's either raised his value to the point where it's like you can actually really move him in a pick or move him with a pick or move him in a trade this summer for somebody that's obviously like a star or superstar, or like I said, you're keeping him. You know, it's kind of like a good problem. You know, I'm not saying that in a negative way, but like he's raised his value. Like people know who he is and he has his impact. And like I said, to me, he's at least a six man coming off the bench next season. That's what I would use him for. But, you know, Scotty, another one too. Scotty's raised his value. He played great. I think he kind of like solidified that at least the number one spot on the roster for this roster right now as it stands. Brandon Ingram, I mean, like I said, I like him, but he's year 11. This is the healthiest season he's ever had. You know, hopefully he bucks the trend and stays this healthy for the rest of his career that he's with the Raptors. But, you know,
what do we do with him?
Players that get older don't usually get healthier. So,
man, you know,
we'll see. And the fact that he didn't finish the playoffs or he was already out, but, you know, he played terrible and then he was out the last two games. It's kind of fitting. You know what I mean? What are you going to say, Julius? I didn't mean to cut you.
No, I was just going to ask you guys, what do we do with him? Because we know what he's capable of in the regular season, but we don't know what he's capable of postseason.
Well, this is the problem, right? Unfortunately, you're going to have to move either him or RJ.
And if I had to choose, it would be Ingram.
Of course.
And it's gonna be hard to do that though.
But his what we're giving him right now, nobody's gonna want to pick him up.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say nobody, but
it's just a 2 year like his per year salary is ridiculous. Like after this showing in the postseason, not during the regular season, like even it's still we still overpaid. I'm never gonna argue that. But at least during the regular season, it kind of gave me hope to understand why we did so. Knowing that we can attract free agencies and he's scoring, he's our go-to guy, right? That being said, his contract is only, I believe, 2 years plus a
player option, I think.
A player option, which kind of sucks.
Which he's gonna take.
So it's doable. It can be traded. I think he makes 40 mil. It's doable because it's only 2 years plus the play. I mean, his opt-in, right?
And that money, really and truly, that per year money is at this stage of the game now. That's actually a starting player salary, right?
So it's doable. It's not like Pirtle's fucking contract. Sorry, but yeah, it's not like that, right? But I would, after watching RJ play during the playoffs and the heart I just seen like he had it. He has that. He has that dog in him. And I keep saying that I need to see that in a player in a postseason. And I seen that with him. I'd rather like RJ postseason is better to me than RJ regular season. And that's what I want to see. Right. That's when the pressure you get to really value or gauge a player. Mm-hmm. So to your answer to your question, I would trade Ingram if I had to choose the two. Now, it's too bad that we didn't get a chance to see all of them play together. Like Quickly, Ingram, CMB. Like it would have been a lot easier to assess the season, who should be leaving, who should be coming, but we didn't get that chance. And to see that we fought and made it to game seven without two starters, it made me start the question, are those guys expendable? Quickly and Ingram, right? For better pieces, better fitting pieces with Barnes and CMB and RJ. I want, like, after watching RJ, I want to have RJ for another postseason. Yeah. I want to have another postseason. Regular season RJ, whatever, right? But for postseason RJ, shit. This guy was sticking up for players, diving for loose balls, getting to the other team's faces. Like, that's what I want to see. Scotty was like, you know, Scotty's the same type of dude, same type of player. And it gives us a chance to see RJ in that secondary scoring role, if he's capable of playing that role. And it looked like he did. So to me, it just made me understand, like, we got to, like, find more complementary pieces for RJ and Scotty. Right? And if we have to trade Ingram, then so be it. But I wouldn't be opposed to keeping Ingram. I wouldn't be opposed just because I don't really want to gauge on a man on three games. Like, he was terrible in those three games. Mm-hmm. And I really question his heart. Not to say he wasn't hurt, but after the
you
first
game. You didn't want to go 6-0 on him.
You know, I don't want to do that on him. It just hurts that after the first game, he directed blame to Coach Darko. Okay, right? Yeah. And that's what pissed me off, right? Now, if you're really hurt, you're playing with an injury. Sorry, see, last point. If you're really hurt playing with injury, just keep your mouth shut. So that makes me wondering if he's really that banged up. Do we need to trade him to find better pieces? You got to look at analytics from here, like on the floor, how well they played. You got to look at all that in the offseason.
And if you're going to talk that talk, I'm okay with it, but you got to back it up. Like, Historically, I don't care in any sport. You can talk trash all you want. If you're backing it up, man, I'm a rock with you. I'm good. You know what I mean? So if you're going to come out and say that, come and give me 25 the next game.
Right. But he's talking trash his own coach.
I know. That's what I mean. So if you're going to do that. That's if you're gonna worse. Do that, you can't go 3-15 the next game. That can't exist.
Agreed. Like, it's ridiculous. And that kind of showed me where his mindset is at. You know, that's not a leader, man. That's not what we want.
But he's right? Not a leader. He's not. He wasn't brought in to be a leader.
I know. I agree.
Brought in to get buckets, right? And I don't. You can actually see, like, I think he started off really well, right? And you could see after All-Star break, I don't think he was as effective. So I think teams started to catch on how to stop him, right? Or maybe there was an injury we didn't know of, right? That just got worse and worse and worse. I don't know, but I could see him tailing off a little bit towards the end of the season. And to your point of what you can do, I mean, I still think we can work with him. But optimally, if you want to look at it, can we win the East with him? I'm going to be honest. This is the thing. He is, like, we talk about the Larry and DeRozan era, right? And everybody was like, DeRozan's not that guy. I have more faith in DeRozan, if LeBron wasn't there, getting us to the finals than I do Ingram.
Agreed. And to my point, to your point is that Ingram, I think Ingram can be that guy with us, but not the number one option. Like, he's like a complimentary piece. I think Scotty, I know, see, we have this argument, but I think Scotty is the main guy now. He's the main guy. Like, I think he's always been the main guy. He's always been the main, but I know your argument has always been he's not the scoring guy.
The problem is this, guys. If you with Scotty, that's who we saw is who's able to get to his spots at will. because of his strength, his athleticism, and skill. You need someone that can somewhat space the floor. Ingram cannot shoot the three. So you can't have two guys operating in the same space, and that, or three guys operating in the same space. Right. You just can't. So it won't work. I, from what I see right now, it's not going to work unless, even if you get rid of RJ, Scotty's not a shooter. I'd rather Scotty taking up that space than Ingram. Him.
Yeah. Ingram. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. 100%.
So honestly, the point remains is, if we're able to get rid of Ingram and we're able to get value for him, I will pull the trigger ASAP.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, I think the common thread with the three of us right now is you don't really want to run this team back, even though it was it's funny to say because it was a successful season, but, you know, you don't really want to run it back at the same time. If you come back with this team next year, I mean, I'm not going to say you're going to sit there and groan, but, like, for myself, maybe I should speak for myself at the very least, it's kind of like, okay, let's see how the younger guys grow. Let's see how CMB grows. Let's see how, you know, what improvements Scotty makes from this season and Barrett and whoever else, if you run this team back. But I'm kind of like, you kind of know where this is going to end up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that faith that, like, they're going to, you know, like next year, you're going to have, you know, barring injury, of course, you're going to have next year, Detroit, you're going to have the Knicks if they don't make a big move. You will have Boston. Atlanta popping through. You know, Boston's still going to be there. I think Orlando's another team that kind of like had an off season, but I feel like they're going to come back next year. The way they finished the season and, well, not the season, but the way they played Detroit in that series, to me, it wasn't shocking because, again, a lot of us had that team top three in the East going into the season. Yeah. I just thought they had too many injuries and they just kind of fell apart. But when at their potential, yeah, they can hang with Detroit. They're that good. And honestly, if Franz didn't get hurt, I think they would be playing Cleveland right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so to me, that's why I'm like, you still, there's some teams you're going to have to leapfrog a little bit. And then there might be another team that might be coming, like in Indiana, who's going to get healthy and got Zubac in the during the trade deadline, and Halliburton's coming back, and you know what I mean. Like, there's teams that are coming. So I think to kind of run this back, it's kind of like, you know what the standard is. You're gonna play hard, you know what I mean, and everything else. But I'm like, are you gonna be deep into May with this team? The jury's still out on that one. Not until, to me, like I said, if you can trade and get that guy like. I don't even know if you could compare these two in this fashion, but like, I look at somebody like Jalen Williams on OKC, right? A lot. Jalen Williams on OKC would be, I don't know if he'd be a number one somewhere else, but like, if he was a number one on this team, I think him and Scotty Barnes are kind of on that same level a little bit, where they're like all-star flirting with all NBA type of value. And Jalen Williams as a number two is like, you're a championship team. And that's my point I make with Scotty. I'm not saying like it's like the season sucks, so you're not going to be successful with Scotty Barnes being there as your number one guy. But I'm like, if he's your number two, I'm like, you're pretty much guaranteeing yourself at the finals. And that's to me is where I want everybody to start thinking. Like, if we can get there, it's easier said than done, of course, because you know what I mean? Like, you gotta move some assets to get these things happening. But like, and I think, like I said, this is the drawback of signing all these guys, overpaying all these mid-level to, like, you know, just borderline all-stars, to like overpaying these guys, because it gets harder to move without moving your future. But if you're going to do that, I'm okay with it. If you're going to do that, you better get somebody back where it's like, okay, shit, all right, let's go. You know what I mean? And we're ready to ride.
My only point to that, and I said to you earlier, is that Scotty's 24 yeah. years old. Jalen Williams, I don't know how old he is. He's still young. These pretty guys can be that age. Player. How old? Yeah.
I think he's. Right. I'll check, but I think he's pretty much the same age.
Right. So like, he's these guys too. Are getting better with after each season. So like, to say Scotty can't be that guy or that number one, I think personally he is that number one. I said that to you after these playoffs. From what I saw, what he did, he was the best player on the court. I posted to you guys the records he's been setting. like in terms of for an NBA player under the age of 25 rebounds, assists in a first round series. So this only LeBron done some of those stats. That alone tells me, and from what my own eye test, from what I watch, tells me that the ceiling is more than what it is now.
Yeah, so, but there's kind of fool's gold, because he had to fill in a lot of spots with two starters out, right?
It doesn't matter. He did.
What I'm trying to say is that those stats are like, he did them, and yeah, I give him props for doing that. I'm not saying anything, but what I'm trying to say is, would he do that or continue to do that with a healthy Poeltl and a healthy Ingram?
Probably not, but that's not the point, though. But I hear your point.
I'm just saying,
gotten those stats.
Right. Is he effective? So we saw how effective Scottie can be.
Correct.
Could he be in the vein of LeBron, like you said? Could we build around him where the ball's in his hands all the time? You do have, like, that means a guy like Quickly is an asset, or like, I'm not saying Quickly is, but he is, because it like the stats show when Quickly and him play together, it's +4 or +6 or something.
We did miss Quickly shooting, outside shooting, because we didn't really have, other than Walter and Shed, and even RJ shot very well, relatively to what he normally does outside of the 3-point line. But like, we missed Quickly shooting. But to my argument, though, is that he sees the opportunity. There was an opportunity to take this team to Game 7, to fight back, to lead, to rebound, and he achieved it. If those players were playing, no. Would he have been able to do it? No, because he would not have received this opportunity. You need opportunity. It's like that backup QB getting that first shot, and then we're realizing, oh, he's a QB1. You need that opportunity. And from my eye test, going against Allen and Mobley, and at times, Barnes was like the biggest guy on our team on the floor, like the tall in terms of height, if you want to look at number. But the point is, he was still able to rebound, assist, and score. And knowing that he's the guy that the main scorer that they were targeting and double teaming, and he was still just producing against a decent team. Although Cleveland underachieved in my eyes, they didn't play that well. But being able to have that opportunity to show that you're capable of being that guy, and that you're 24, and that this experience will only elevate your game going forward, I think the sky's the limit now.
But it's funny, because of the matchup, again, you play who's in front of you. So I'll respect him. I'm like I said, I'm with him. I like him, but I'm like, I'm like, if he does this against the Knicks, you know, if they met up against the Knicks, he does this against the Knicks, I'm like, okay, maybe we have to revisit.
Well, to me, Mobley was a decent defender. Like, if you're going to look at OG, OG's a fabulous defender, but in terms of size and post, like, I think he will have a better matchup with OG. To me personally, because OG's more of like a swingman, small forward type of guy. He's not going to shut down a power forward like JJ, like Triple J or whatever. So he would have a better matchup to me.
Who would have? Sorry.
I think Scottie will have a, in terms of defenders, I think Mobley's Mobley was defensive player of the year, I think, last year, to be honest.
Last year he was, yeah.
I think it's a tougher matchup for Scottie to go up against Mobley than say an OG.
Mm-hmm.
To my point, like, if he did against the Knicks, I'm like, he'll have a better opportunity against the Knicks. We don't, as a team, play well against the Knicks.
I don't play as a team. I think it depends, right? I think OG's a better on-ball defender, right?
Correct. But Scottie's play in the Cleveland series was more post, get into the paint, kind of back you up, back turnaround jumper kind of thing. So it wasn't like fronting his player, dribble crossover. That's where OG's a better defender.
Yeah, I was gonna say two things. Number one, Jalen Williams, they're basically the same age. Jalen Williams he's just turned 25, but Barnes turns 25 this summer.
Yeah, there you go.
See, or just around Carabana basically turns 25. So they're basically the same age.
Those guys are going to be studs. Those guys are going to be studs.
Yeah, they're young and they're really good. The future's bright with Scotty. But like I said, you add like that superstar beside him to me. I'm like,
I agree.
I'm like, man, I'm like, yo, we're flirting with championships for a while. You know what I mean? That's what I've seen. But like I said, but you have who you have, so take it and ride it. You know what I mean? Like I said, even if, and to me, you know, even though I'm like, again, you don't want to run this team back, but you also got to be smart. So you don't want to make desperate moves just to make moves. You want to make the right moves. So that's what I said. If you're gonna do this, because I'm looking at their salary cap right now, they're basically just over $9 million from the first apron. You know what I mean? In terms of cap space. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're like right at the threshold, you know what I mean? Before they start paying luxury taxes. So to me, that's where I'm like, and we look at the roster. It's like, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I said one of my main priorities will be to free up cap space. And I didn't really care how many players we get back in return. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we trade Pirtle's contract and package it with a future protected first round pick, I'm okay with it. And if we got back like bench players, I'm okay with it. I'm actually okay with it. Because we get rid of, I hate to say it, but we get rid of Pirtle and that contract. And we have space and to absorb other contracts. And that's why I said we need to keep our first round pick for this year. This year, upcoming draft is one of the deepest drafts in decades. So we keep this one. After this, I don't mind trading 2028, 2029. I do mind, but if we have to do that,
we don't know who's coming.
What's that?
I said we don't know who's coming.
Yeah. You don't know.
But we'd be like, oh my god, we traded friggin' the next Kawhi, the next Giannis, the next Steph.
But then you protect it. You trade these picks, you protect lottery, like top 10 or whatever. And the way that, and you know what, to your point, the way that the system, the lottery draft is going to be changed going forward, you may not want to be trading picks because lottery
picks anyway,
if I remember, it's almost like all equal, like so the same percentage for the lottery.
If you're in the bottom three, you actually have a worse chance to get the number one pick now.
So like, Raptors may be having a chance to draft. That's why you got to protect your lottery pick. Like you got to all, no matter any future draft pick that we trade, has to be protected.
I blame Utah and Washington for that happening. This year. Just out of control.
Like 6-7 teams though.
I know for real. But they were the most egregious guys. They were atrocious when it came to the tanking. I like that was bad.
And they didn't Brooklyn care. Too.
It was bad.
Explicitly in your face.
So I mean, you know what? This is a conversation we're definitely gonna have to revisit later because I mean this is fresh, of course. Like I said, man, I would say congratulations to the Cavaliers for making it past the first round so they can get eaten by Detroit. But man, they talking, man. This social media, I see some of their blasts that they've been doing the last couple of days after they won against the Raptors. I'm like, man, I'm like, people, y'all talking big. Y'all talking big. Like I almost want, it made me think of that Joe Kim Noah video, like who wants to go to Cleveland, anybody want a vacation in Cleveland, like you know, like that's what it made me think of. And I'm like y'all talking real spicy for like, you know, a team that's gonna be knocked out by the end of next week. You know, it's quite interesting. And it's seven games too. Like I wouldn't be talking like that after seven games.
Exactly.
Like
no.
Come on.
But that's social media now. Even with franchises, like that service.
Some young guy's running it. Some 20-something year old is still in college, is running that. He's still doing his thesis papers and taking a break and making those posts. You know. But with that said, like I said, I mean we're definitely gonna have to revisit this Raptor stuff a little bit later, you know, and towards the end of the season or the off season, you know, we're gonna have many discussions about that. And like I said, hopefully they make some moves, man. It'll be cool to see. But I don't want to do the We the North era of the Raptors was successful because of course it ended in the chip and that journey was the most successful run and that journey was dope. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to relive or retrace those steps again, because a lot of times you were sitting there like, yeah, this team's good, but we all knew they're not going to win. You know what I mean? Until we got Kawhi, you're like we're not going to win this. You know what I mean? Except for 2018, but like, I mean, we won't talk about that. You know, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go back and relive that, where it's like 2-3 years from now, where like we're guys are really pissed that we still got the same similar roster. We still haven't made it out of the second round or the first round. And you know what I mean? And like, I don't want to go back to that. So I'm like, to me, I'd rather just swing for the fence now if you can, and hopefully swing for the fence for a young guy. And like I said, just see where it goes. But the thing is, you have some pieces that you can actually move. Like Quickly is making $32 million. If you're going to start him, especially for a team that's not making the playoffs, like, it's a pretty valuable contract. You know what I mean? Like, Poeltl, his contract isn't great, but it is $19.5 million. You know what I mean? For a starter, that's not bad. You know what I mean? Like, even though he's
it's the years.
I don't know. It's just the extension, though.
No, but it's the years. And what I'm looking at the centers in the league. I mean, every team, contending team, has a legit certified starter. So, like, where are you? Like, who are you going to trade him to? Like, I'm looking. The only, maybe if you really want to see if Portland would want him, and maybe you could get back, Williams. No, I don't think they'll give him up because he's young. Robert Williams, third. Probably can get him.
I wouldn't do that either. He's always hurt too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, but I'm just saying there's no other, like, do you want DeAndre Ayton?
Hell no.
No, there you go. Right. So what other team can use him?
Well, there's a few teams at the time at the deadline, right? So the teams that they were talking to, it was Memphis, right? Because ED was, you know, he can't, I don't think he can load, he can hold a starting like role for 80 games with his size and his history of injuries already since it started. And then the other rumor was Sacramento, right? Right. So because Sabonis, his time is up over there, right? And they don't have a center after. Well, they got a young kid now who played well. That's one of the, again, the opportunity. What's this kid's name? I can't remember his name, but
is it called that?
Maxim.
Yes.
Oh, Renaud. Yeah. Sorry.
Same thing, right? Yeah. He's almost doubling. So, but that opportunity came because Sabonis was out.
Right? I think I know who we could potentially get. If Giannis goes, would you want Miles Turner?
No, I don't want the Miles, man. He's another guy like Triple J, as Calvin mentioned, like 3 rebounds a game. You know, he has no heart. No. We need heart, right? But the point is, so I think we might be stuck with Poeltl, which isn't necessarily a bad thing as long as he's not starting. You know what I'm saying?
Or if you're going to start him, then make sure his training regimens are in the Dead Sea. Any beach with a sea salt, you know what I mean, and just make him go to work from there, man. Don't hold him down, make him guzzle it back. Just whatever you got to do to make him healthy for the season.
He can't start. So you know, we just need a supplementary like big man that can play when he's down, or play like half the game, or like a center, like a second center. Like a RB1, RB2 kind of type thing, right? Because we can't rely on Poeltl because his history of his age now and the back injury and of his skill sets, it looks diminishing. So we need a guy. So even if we don't trade him, we need a big man. We need a young big man, you know? So CMB is playing out of position, to be honest with you. So we can't have him playing the five and guarding guys like Drummond and Embiid or those big centers.
He's going to wear it down.
And it's not fair to him, to be honest. It's not fair to him. So we need a big man. So if we can get another big man that can complement CMB and Scotty, we're good. Like, it's not the end of the world. The team, we're in a good position to some degree. Outside of the payroll, the players itself, we're in a good position.
Yeah, it's solid. The team is solid. With that said, I mean, the old HNIC shout out to Prodigy was he's back in the game. What do you guys thoughts on Masai going to Dallas?
Yo, I feel it's kind of nostalgic. I feel jealous.
Yeah, I do a little bit.
Like, I honestly, when I seen him walking in there making his corny jokes, I was like, damn, that's our guy. Oh, is there food in here? You know, like, you're just like, man, that's our guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's Mr. Toronto. Like, he's, man, I still can't believe that one of the best execs in the league, we just let him walk like that. And I know there's a lot of controversies and some people wanted him gone. Bullshit. I would have taken him any day. Such a, you know, that guy, he brought an aura to this city. He brought a championship to the city. He brought a swagger to the city. He brought an identity to the city. And I thought we were going to ride with him till he retired.
Yeah.
He brought a parade to this city.
Yeah. All right, you know, So which is not easy to do. You know, but you know where I got confused though? Wasn't he like supposed to be like some chief or president of like of the Toronto Temple?
Yeah, it's called the owner.
Oh, okay. So I guess you can be partial. You can be both. Yeah. Both roles. Yeah. Okay. I was confused there for a little bit.
Yeah. But good move for him though, because that's I mean, hopefully the WNBA is growing to the point where like they are. I mean, you saw the players are going to be making more money, or there's more teams coming in. So you're hoping they can sustain this, where like that investment is going to be worthwhile. In 5 years, you're like, damn,
you know,
like owning a WNBA team is going to be like, whoo, this is some good money.
I think the owners are making money in the WNBA because the contract that they gave to the players. It was nice. It's like a huge jump from what it was before.
Yeah.
And the moment that it went to that, you saw free agency. Everybody was getting to the top, like to the max.
The max.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like you don't have to go to the max, right? Owners don't have to, like, oh, GMs don't have to go. Everybody was getting max. I'm like, yo, so just how much money are you guys? Like, and as an owner, it's obvious you don't want to ever show the books to the public that you're making this amount of money. You're always going to complain. We're not making money. I'm making money. We see it in the NHL, MLB. These guys are making money.
Football. Good God.
Football. And I know they're not transparent. Let's be real. So if the league is expanding, players are getting max money on day one. They got money, man. They have money. They're just doing the hustle, like what they're supposed to do, in my eyes. They are supposed to hustle and say, we don't have money. But they're making money, man.
Yeah.
We just don't know how much to what degree, but we know it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough.
With that said, Asia deserved her bread, though.
Yeah. Okay, of course. Yeah. She got that max immediately, too.
She needed that max. Two-time MVP, back-to-back champion. She helped Bam get 83 points. Like she's got to get her bread.
So was it that TV money that helped get them? Like,
I don't know the specifics personally because I didn't take a deep dive into it. But that definitely helped. But I think they were making money as is prior to that.
Yeah.
There's people that want an expansion team. If they're doing their homework and they're reviewing books and they're seeing teams are losing money, nobody's going to want an expansion team. Why would you do that? You're just throwing away money unless you have play money, which a lot of these owners do. But I truly feel they're making shitloads of money, not like NBA or the other major sports, but more than what they're telling us.
Yeah. Enough. And on top of that, I think they have a deal with, because I've seen a commercial with WNBA on NBC. So they're gonna have games on NBC. They got games on Prime. So
yeah.
I think their TV contracts are about to go up a little bit. Going back to Masai though, I didn't look at it from the jealousy perspective, Randall. But I mean, that's not a bad point of view because you know, like looking at him, you're just like, because I still remember when he just came to Toronto and him and Tim Laiweke was there, and I remember, I swear to God, I felt like the only person that was more excited than me was Headley, because we were both like, yo, Tim Laiweke. I remember reading the story on him back in the day, and it was like, yo, this guy is all about champions and he's serious, and now you bring him aside too, and I'm like, yo. And everybody's like, who is these guys? And we lost, you know, big collar Colangelo. And I'm like, yo, get them collars out of here, bro. Cut them corners. Let's go. We're going to run this. And then for it to end up with a chip and stuff and, you know, and all the things that he did and the Giants of Africa. And I mean, the last Giants of Africa, I mean, I knew a couple of people that was on that trip. I still got a shout out to O'Neal Kamaka, too, because I think he spent a lot of time in Africa with that, too. And Krista and Ujukin, like they. Yeah, so I mean that was huge, man. You know what I mean? And so watching him go back, I think Dallas should be excited because he adds value to the franchise, obviously, because who he is. He's one of the best execs in the game. And you're adding something to a growing nucleus that you kind of want to see. Cause I mean, look, if you look at the pros, you have a pretty good roster as it stands right now. You got an 18-year-old or 19-year-old phenom that's like looks like he's about to be a really special talent. You're getting back Kyrie Irving, you know what I mean? And the franchise, well, I don't know about this organization, but they do spend some money. And this is like the weather and tax bizarre world version of Toronto because they're in Texas. And it's no state tax. So you don't got to worry about, you know what I mean? Getting players their bread and attracting free agents and stuff. I mean, they're going to probably come quicker to Dallas than they are to Toronto. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you don't have those kind of problems. So unfortunately, so I mean, he worked miracles in Toronto. You know what I mean? So I'm like with Dallas with, you know, especially like the weather and tax bracket perspective. I mean, no state tax is no state tax, man. You know what I mean? Like, It's worth something, you know what I mean? Yeah, but like again, and on top of that, you're going into the one of the strongest drafts in years with your lottery picked intact.
Well, the main thing too is what I liked is what he was saying. Right, he's I'm sure people at Dallas, they're not all everyone has heard about Masai. I don't think everyone understands the type of pedigree he brings, and you know. His statements were bang on Masai, right? Like, I don't get like, okay, let's get over now. I don't want to hear anything about Luka. He's gonna be a future Hall of Famer. We get that. But you know, he's a little quotes about his, you know, back home we have a quote, you know, like that kind of stuff. He sell down everyone. I got this. I'm gonna bring them back to relevance, right? We got the young prince, and I'm gonna make him a king. You could not have scripted that. Like, wow, that's a Masai, right? And the next thing he's going to do, he's going to drop an F-bomb and everyone's going to be like, I like this guy. I really, really like this guy. He's going to do big things there. And we're going to be sitting there, goddamn, why didn't he do that when he was at Toronto? Fuck you. It was the assholes that own, you know, the, what do you call it? Is it Bell or who's part of
that? Rogers.
Rogers.
And just to add to your point, like Masai, like he literally represented the city, you know what I'm saying? Like just like being a person of color, being a person of color who's successful in a position of authority, he like literally represented the city symbolically too. So he's going to be missed, and I hope Dallas appreciates what he brings.
And if you remember with the off the court scandal of like the front office with the Mavericks a couple of years back with like the sexual, not a sexual assaults, but just there was some front office issues like with especially with regards to women and stuff. He empowers women on top of that too. So that's something like he's adding value in all aspects just by showing up there. You know what I mean? So good luck to him because like I said, I mean, there's few better places to land in the league. That's like probably one of the best prospects to land in the league right now. You know what I mean? When you have you can go both ways. You can either get a championship, like go the championship route, get yourself another all-star or even superstar as well. And go try to see if you can get a ring while Cooper's in his infancy stage, or you can get rid of these assets, tear it down, get a bunch of draft picks and really build out this Cooper Flagg thing, and then in a couple of years they're going to really be ready. So you can go either direction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's actually a good place to be. I'd probably go to championship direction without giving up a lot of assets and keeping those guys on short contracts, knowing that you're keeping all your picks, and you know what I mean? Like, I would maybe go that route, but either way, you're kind of successful. Last thing I'll add, though, before we wrap, is just really quickly. I feel like the second round, just by looking at it already, is going to be a letdown from the first round, just based on some of the matchups. The Lakers and the Thunder, I mean, I the only reason why I'm going to even watch that is because I love watching Shea, but I have, like, almost no interest in watching a blowout, because, I mean, it's... I didn't even watch the game yesterday because I'm like, they won by 18, and I don't think it was that close from what I was told.
No, I watched some of it. But do you think that so I'm hearing now that Luka might be on the verge of coming back. Do you think he swings the pendulum any which way?
Means nothing.
Yeah. I agree. I'm just asking. Yeah.
Well, he does, maybe, but just not to a victory over OKC.
I was going to say, maybe at best he gets a game. Like, put it this way. If I'm OKC, I'm not even bringing Jalen back. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even bringing him back this series. I'm like, I'm just making sure I'm just telling him, just get right for the conference finals. We're going to need you for the conference finals. Like, I'm not even going to waste my time. Because they can sweep. They're so deep, they can sweep the Lakers without him. You know what I mean? Like, that's how deep they are. And look, Shea only had 18 last night.
Yeah, like, you don't even realize how weak they are. You don't.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, they got like 10 to 11 guys coming off the bench. You're like, yo, who the hell is this dude? This guy's killing.
Yep.
And they're like, they're not really like super superstars to like having like a big three or anything like that. They're just deep and having smart, grit, scoring type and defensive players. And of course, that they all buy into winning. Right. So my whole point is they have a different type of chemistry than previous championship teams having like three all-stars. Right.
Yeah.
And not to say Jalen Williams isn't an all-star or Chet isn't an all-star type player. But I guess if on a different team, they might be type that superstars go-to guy. But on this team is Shea's team, and it's clear. And those guys fill those roles. Right, and that's all you need.
They technically have three all stars because Jalen is an all star, and he was NBA last year, and Chet was an all star this year. So
I get
what you're saying. Like, it's not like three superstars kind of thing. Like, they know their roles, and they all seem to be really close.
Exactly,
from what you could see. So it's something that you love. The Knicks and that was the series I cared about the most. The Knicks and Philly, but once I found that Embiid wasn't playing, I'm kind of like. The oomph is kind of out of it, although the game is close right now from what I can see. It's a 4-point game with like 3 minutes to go. Knicks are winning. But like, if Embiid misses more than one game,
listen,
like this series it's not even, you know what I mean? Like, you can watch it, it'll still be exciting, but it's, you know what the outcome is going to be.
Like, but, we knew he was going to crumble at some point, like, right? But I didn't think this soon. Right, yeah. Like, he just came back, and it wasn't even related to the surgery he had. It's just ankle. They said everything: ankle, knee.
He was laboring. He always looks like he's laboring.
And he does.
Always like he's laboring.
And did you see the stat I shared with you guys that he hasn't played six games in a row since 2023? Like, in 3 years, he hasn't played six games in a row. Right. So. You know what? They cannot be relied upon. He cannot be relied upon to take you through the journey of the playoffs into a championship.
The only good thing for Philly is that they've been used to playing without him for most of the last couple of years, to the point where it's kind of like Maxie's team now. So
yeah, but it still won't be good. They need Embiid though.
Oh, 100%.
Right? I think they needed Embiid to beat Boston as well.
Yeah. That game, that last game, if they didn't have Embiid, it wouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can play without him, and they're used to it, but they still need him on the floor.
Yeah.
He draws a lot of double teams.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Cleveland, Detroit, same thing. Like, I'm going to watch it, but I expect, again, the Cavs had no heart for seven games against the Raptors. I don't expect them to grow some against Detroit.
I feel for that organization because if they get swept or they lose in five games, they have a lot of reevaluation that they got to do, Cleveland. Like, that's an organized, because you just traded Garland for Harden.
I know.
Right?
I never liked that trade.
No. I never liked it in the first place. Yeah, I never understood it. And you got two bigs like Mobley and Allen that now been knocked out in the first round or second round or early. Like, it's not working. It's that chemistry that what we're talking about with Ingram and Scotty. Is it the chemistry? Something has to give, man. Something has to give. And you would have to blow up that team. Mitchell doesn't look good either, to be honest.
Yeah. But it's tough because you just traded for Harden. Like, he wants he's looking to get an extension. So I'm like, you almost can't blow up the team. You just made this big trade.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They are in a situation that you got to do something. And maybe they do re-sign Harden, but Harden on defense looks horrible. Did you see? And not only that, the turnovers, he's not a playoff guy. He's never been a playoff guy. Yep. His track history has never been a playoff guy. And I think they didn't look at that when they made that trade for Garland. Now, Garland's always hurt now. Don't get me wrong. But that you're trading youth for a 37-year-old or however old he is. It made no sense to me.
I never liked, especially with their track record. Go ahead, Ray.
And Garland, I mean, Kawhi became a monster in this, after all the trades they did, right? He just took everything and put it on his back. Ended up actually playing. But Garland was, he came on at the end of the season.
They looked well.
Look really good. They look great together in the pace, everything. So, yep. I don't know.
Harden is not getting younger. What do you think in two more years how he's going to look like on defense? Even worse.
No, I agree.
And he'll be like 38 years old.
Playing defense against. So that's
That trade doesn't move. I don't know how he gets himself off teams, man. Like, I don't know. Like, even for this team too, with the Clippers, I'm like, how is he still doing this? Getting himself traded. I'm like, it's like a skill. Like, I don't know how he does it, especially at this age. I'm like, people know the book on you at this point. How is he still getting this off? It's crazy.
I don't know, man.
How many years does Embiid have left on his contract?
I think he should retire soon. I keep saying this. He's supposed to retire. Don't even wait. Don't even talk that end of the contract. Let's just maybe make next season your last season. Do this. Be like LeBron, or be like what we think LeBron should do, and just do the swan song and go get your praises and stuff from other teams and just shut it down. Can you imagine what he's gonna look like in his 40s and his 50s?
He's not going anywhere, and Philly is gonna be in a situation as well, Randall. In terms,
so
of
that's why I'm asking.
Yeah,
the situation. They got Paul George. They got him.
I know. I know. It's tough. But as I said, but just think, when he's gonna look like hell in his 50s, man. Like, he is like so matched up, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, you ever see some of these players after they're retired, just the way they walk, and you're just like, oh my gosh, he just look like a mess. I can't imagine him being. And he's had every injury that you could think of: back, appendix. Like, what he has, cerebral palsy one year. His eye couldn't close. Like.
Kenny Smith didn't play that much. Look at his legs; they're like this.
It's like matchsticks rubbing together.
Yeah,
and then finally, the Spurs and the Timberwolves. And I got to shout out the Timberwolves because I don't know about you guys. Maybe you guys are different than me, but like every year, you're kind of like. Okay, second round comes and you're like, they're probably gonna lose. And then they end up being in the conference finals. And after they pull this game one win out against the Spurs, and mind you, that is the game that you're supposed to get, especially when the other team has been rested for so long. But again, with Anthony Edwards coming back, it wouldn't shock me to see that series go 6 or 7. Because I think Minnesota's got so much heart, and the Spurs have not been like this iteration of the Spurs has not been there yet. You know what I mean? They're all neophytes to this game right now in terms of playoff. They have no playoff experience other than Scottie Barnes, Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's where I'm like, I'm like, you can get a couple of games just based on experience and just because they play well in the playoffs, man. I got to give it, like, Minnesota's, they got their dogs, man. They do. Like, we're just thinking Ant-Man, but, like, Jaden Daniels, like, look at the guys that come off the bench. Shannon, like yo, these guys are dogs, man. And even with DiVincenzo out, like, they're dogs. So, I'm like, I'm no longer underestimating them.
I still feel that Spurs, I feel Minnie's not going to win another game. That's just what I'm feeling. But that being said, they did come away with that game one win, and I didn't see the game. I was hooping, but I don't know. So I can't really comment on it, but I did see Wemby had a bad game in terms of scoring. Yeah. So give a little respect to Gobert. So I give him that, but I don't think that's going to happen again. I don't think it's going to happen again. I think it's going to be done in 5 games.
12 but blocks. Jesus.
I didn't see the game though, but there's no way they're winning. They're not winning game two. There's not a chance. There's no way. They're too depleted on top of that. And yeah. You know, I saw that Edwards only played like 23 minutes or 24 minutes.
He came off the bench.
He didn't play. And they still won. And I said, what the fuck is going on?
He's better off the bench.
He's better. Yeah. Well, until he gets 100% right. Yeah, you're right.
But I mean, it's
but again, they're dogs, though. They're dogs.
I didn't see the game. Now, were they leading? Was it going back and forth? I didn't see it. I caught
most of the second half. It is one of those games where it was like, again, San Antonio, they sat out a week. You know what I mean? So
you can see a little bit
of rust, but also a little bit of like, not being there. Wemby was getting roughed up a little bit. You know what I mean? Because, again, he hasn't been there yet. You know what I mean? So these guys are going through this stuff for the first time. Minnesota's been doing this, you know, they've been going these playoff runs for the last few years. So they're not going to back down. That's why I'm like, I can see them getting 2 games in this series. Now, I think the Spurs are still going to win. But, again, like, I mean, look, think about it. They lost their starting backcourt, and they still beat Denver. I think that says a lot about Denver, too. But Those guys, like, again, they did not. If you watch that game 6 against Denver, they were just coming at Denver's rack just from the beginning.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're dogs, man. So that's what I'm like.
And yeah, I give them credit. I give them a lot of credit, especially to what they've been able to do with a depleted lineup, how they fight. So yeah, I give them a lot of credit. I just don't think they have enough at this point. But hey, you never know.
Hey, so we're going to wrap up here, but, you know, of course, thank you guys for hopping on the AV, but I want to wrap this up by saying, Julian, how do you feel, man? You crossed over. You Euro stepped over to the, you know, to 50, bro. You
this crossed 50, over to 50. You know, man. This is 50, man. Hey, as you said, man, it's just a number. I'm still looking good. Still looking young. I'm still hooping. Still working out. I'm golfing now. That's an old man sport. I'm golfing now. So, no, I still feel good, man. So, appreciate it.
Yeah, we got to get the black and white kicks, like the loafers of the
those Nikes, the old man Nikes.
Yeah, man.
The Monarchs.
You got to get your pair of Monarchs, man.
Not yet.
Get some colorway Monarchs and some New Balance. You got to get you some New Balance, too.
Not yet.
New Balance actually is a shit. Sorry, Hokas. We got to get you some Hokas.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I got a pair of them shits.
I want to get a pair of them.
Not yet, man. I still got my J's.
Hey man, but seriously, congrats, man. You know what I mean? Congratulations, happy birthday and all that, man. Not trying to put your age out there, but
no, I don't care, man. I want you to. I tell everybody. I literally tell everybody. Yo.
Yeah, man. Crossing over the 50, bro.
I'm there now,
baby.
No hooping, still running. And I want everyone to know, like, I'm older than you, and I'm still running by you, and I'm still doing this. Make you feel like shit.
Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the AV Podcast. Special shout out goes out to Julian, aka Jules the Commish, and Randall Walter for hopping on this episode, getting into the wrap up of the Raptors season. and some NBA playoff talk. Thank you as always for tuning in. We've come to the end of the journey of the Raptors playoffs. These post-game playoff pods is over for this season, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to be discussing any playoffs. On the contrary, we'll be back next week for sure with at least one episode discussing the NBA playoffs. We have a Daredevil wrap-up season 2 episode of Daredevil Born Again coming next week. We got a TI episode coming up, and we got a Stoop coming up in the near future, in the very near future. It's being worked on right now, and quite excited already, man. So I'm looking for that. And like I said, there's just a lot more coming down the pipeline, man. So I'm just looking forward to all of it and having some fun with it, man. I honestly would have pumped up maybe another episode this week, but boy, I threw my back out something fierce this week. So I have to kind of lay low a little bit. So that's why there was a lack of episodes until today. So appreciate the patience as always. Once again, always hit the catalog if you want to backtrack at southsharav.com. Once again, that's southsharav.com. Hit those like and subscribe buttons wherever you listen to podcasts. And or watch, you can go to the South Sharav YouTube channel and go on the socials, which is at South Sharav. And pretty much all the cases is at South Sharav. And make sure you hit the 5 stars, which is very important. Hit those 5 stars, please, and thank you. I'm going to stress this more and more and more. Hit the 5 stars, please. Thank you. I appreciate you. Mucho gracias. Thank you. I appreciate that. 5 stars. I'm going to say it again. 5 stars. Hit them. Don't be a hater. Hit them 5 stars, please. Thank you. All right. We'll be back next week with some episodes as aforementioned. And I appreciate y'all, man. So I want y'all to go ahead. Have a great weekend. For Julian, a.k.a. Juice the Commish, and Rhonda Walter, this is Cal C. And as always, you've just tuned into the latest episode of the AV Podcast right here on South Sharav Radio. All right. Until next week. We out of here. Peace.